Good afternoon. 2 years ago at the Beltwright in Orlando, I presented a paper on and praised the virtues of barbarin 713 as a really reliable reniform nematode resistant germplasm line. 2 years later, we have several more lines available, and so we decided to test them all out in the field and do several tests in the greenhouse and in the microplots to test them and see whether they are of equal value. So since 2007, when Longren became available, several other sources of reniform nematode resistant material were developed. There was the group of barbarin, there was the group of the M713 and the MT2468. Longren is, of course, derived from Longicalyx. Barbarin and M713 are resistance from wild accession GB713 of Barbadense, and MT2468 has resistance derived from a wild accession of Hirsutum. In 2013, a total of 13 germplasm lines of these four groups were tested. Two lines of Longren, three of barbarin, five of M713, and three of MT2468. And as controls, we took in FM966 and SG747, making a total of 15 lines in our tests. In my presentation, I will mostly present them as a group, because presenting results on 15 different lines makes it very difficult to grasp in a few minutes. In my proceedings, there will be detailed results of every group, every line. Here, I will present it as a group and only mention differences when they are really important. So we did several tests. One was a field trial in North Alabama on two adjacent plots, one with reniform nematode and one without them. And in the greenhouse, we did a various inocular assay with inoculum levels ranging from 0 to 50,000 per 150 cc. We did other tests, but I'm not going to elaborate on this, because their results are kind of in line with what we found here in these two tests. Here we see a picture of how nice life is without reniform nematode. This is the field at the Tennessee Valley Research Center where we did our field trial, and this is our test on the field without the reniform nematode present. We see hardly any difference in the different germplasm lines, and the yields were obviously quite good. So, of the field trial, we did it in a random block design. With five replications, two row plots. Like I said, one was in the field with reniform nematode, the other one without it. The distance between the two fields in this case was about 200 meters. The main observations we did were germination rates at 21, and this is a mistake. It should be 34 days after planting. The seed development we were rating at 41 days, and we did the yield and fiber quality of all the lines. At the little table below, we see that the seedling stand was quite low. In percentage-wise, barely half of the seeds were standing after 21 days, and even less after 34 days. Especially Longren only had one-third of the plants still standing after 5 weeks, 5 weeks after planting. The reason is probably more nothing to do with nematodes as much as that we had a very cold and rainy spring. So it was probably more in the line of a cold germination test that we have to see this data than as a reniform nematode effect. The shoot heights at 41 days after planting is in the graph with the yellow with the green bars. Very few differences after 41 days, but the big difference is that when we tested 713 2 years ago, the height at the same period was 16 centimeters height. Here we barely reached 10 centimeters, so the plants were very much delayed. At 41 days, we also took we took 4 seedlings per plot. We extracted them and brought them back to the lab and extracted eggs, and we got the first indication here how well they were resistant to the reniform. And we see here that Barberin and M713 are doing very well compared to the control, and even MT2468 had significant reduction in nematodes in eggs. And this big surprise was that Longren was having very high numbers. This is related to the 33% of plants still standing. I think we believe that the plants still standing were actually not resistant, but highly susceptible to the reniform nematode. And we will see later on in my presentation that also pans out in the greenhouse. Here we see a picture of 90 days after planting. In the middle row, the nice looking one is bar 41. To the left is FM966 and the Longren 21. To the right, that plot basically was totally wiped out. Another picture here in the middle, this picture shows 2 lines of the M713. They have a total of 5 lines, REN 1, REN 2, REN 3, REN 4, REN 5. And here we see 2 of them. Pretty okay, especially if you look at the difference towards SG747 on the left. Here we are looking at the yield, and they are presented as per line. We see that both the Barberin group and the M713 group, the yield differences are not very big compared if we compare them with the yields of the nematode-free field. And we see that at the control there is significant yield loss, as well as on the MT2468. And the long run, although they scored very high in nematode numbers, but still the yields were only a fraction of what they were yielding on the nematode-free field. The highest yield was 1,748 pounds of lint per acre by Longren 1 on the non-nematode field, the lowest 102 pounds per acre for Longren 21 on the field with nematode. Yield reduction was only 2% for M713 REN 3, 93% for Longren 21, and for bar 41, 9%. On the side note, turnout percentages were in 14 out of the 15 cases higher on the nematode field than on the non-nematode field. And we speculated that is because the seeds simply were not as good as the seed on the non-nematode field. Here we have a summary of agronomic performance. We see that all the groups yielded quite okay on the non-nematode field. Yield reductions were very high for the long run, and the best was M713, but 5.2%. The Barberin group, bar 41, like I said, is 9%, and Barberin 713 was 27%. Then the fiber quality, if you look at the controls at the bottom and you compare that with the other parameters above it, then we see that MT2468 was lagging a little bit behind, but the rest of the entries did very well. particularly Barbarin 41 had a very long fiber length of 1.25. So, but all of them were really actually quite good in quality. So look at the various inocular assay. Here we see the setup inside the greenhouse. Everybody has seen a greenhouse. So the period we did it was August to October, and that is somewhat important because greenhouse tests are conditioned by the period you are doing them in. Inoculum levels 0, 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, 50,000 per cone. The yellow cones there is 150 cc capacity. We included all the lines we tested in the field. We did 10 replications, but because of that size, we split it up in two sets, 5 replications in the first, and then a week later we did the other 5. We did other 5 replications. The medium was always the same, very low silt, very high sand, and also kind of low on clay. We added fertilizer at planting, and that is something which really influenced our results dramatically. We inoculated 7 days after planting with juveniles and vermiform adults, and for both sets, the origin of the nematodes was the same. We had a big increase. We total needed about 10 million nematodes, and we raised them first before we conducted the test in the greenhouse. 60 days after inoculation, we measured how high the shoots were. We measured the weights of the shoots and the roots. We photographed all the roots, and we extracted and counted the reniform nematode eggs. Here you see the shoot heights after 60 days, and we can see that there was virtually no stunting. Totally different than what earlier tests we did. Only Lundgren at the highest level showed some signs of stunting. The rest, the heights were pretty much the same. Here also the average height, let's say, is about 38, 39 centimeters. In previous tests, our average height was only 10 centimeters after 60 days. Our plants took off really well with the fertilizer, and that influenced our results here. Then if we look at the shoot fresh weights, we see that they are pretty much stable, where if we look at the root fresh weights, then we see an enormous increase in the control when with increased of inoculum levels. We see an increase in root, and we see an opposite trend in the long run, and we see an increase in root mass immediately after the first inoculation level. But other than that, it was not as dramatic as with the control. We can express that as the root to shoot fresh weight ratio, where we see a very rapid decline into the in the control. Basically, it's only half of what it was at a zero level. And we see a dramatic increase or some increase in the long run. But if we take the long run 21.4, then the increase is considerable from 2 to about 2.75. Nematode production, if we look at the control first, that's about the yardstick we want to compare the others with, then we see that Barbarin, the Barbarin group and the M713 group really reduced or showed far less egg numbers than the control. The MT2468 was not as effective. Lundgren was the most effective, but Lundgren 1 really blew all levels. All the Lundgren reps, all the different inoculation levels had some representatives which were highly susceptible. Lundgren 1 had 8 out of 10 being very susceptible. The highest egg numbers we measured in long run one was 127,000 eggs per gram of root. And so that's why this 50,000 inoculation level for long run is really out of the ordinary. Quickly, some pictures from roots. This is in most cases with Barbarin and M713. We see that if you look at the table below, it's low numbers of eggs, relatively low number of eggs. The shoot height doesn't change very much. The roots have a very nice structure. In the majority of cases, the Barbarin and the M713 withstood the nematode inoculation levels quite well. In a few cases, we saw some damage with the Barbarin and the M713. As you can see in the table below, even with the shoot height still pretty much the same, we see some individuals having a high reproduction level and also some root damage. And in other few cases, we see that the shoot height really diminished at the higher inoculation levels, and that was related then to the higher egg counts. But again, for Barbarin and for M713, these were exceptions rather than the rule. This was longer in 21-4, what we have seen in previous tests, very low reproduction, but severe root damage at the higher levels. All right, summary. This is a long-run 21-4 plant, single one out of a row. Good cotton, but probably not any more resistant. Regarding resistance, germplasm lines from Barbarin and M713 really reduce nematode numbers quite well. Less resistance is found in MT2468, and Longren, at least in its original form, still has the highest level of resistance, but also is quite intolerant. Reniform nematode tolerance, the lines of Barbarin and M713 are showing good tolerance, so these lines are really looking very good. Agronomic performance, all lines yielded very well on the nematode free field, but not on the nematode field, and the fiber qualities were comparable to existing conventional varieties. Stunting, creating more favorable growing conditions, especially in the germination and early growth stage, seems to lessen the severity of stunting in Longren. As such, there is no magic threshold under which Longren starts showing stunting or damage. If you can improve early stages of growth, Longren will do fine too. By the same token, if you increase and make the growing conditions for Barbarin and M713 more harsh in the beginning, they still are not totally without intolerance. They still will show some damage. And the lesson we learned for our program, at least, is for the long run, you have seen that our lines are not pure anymore and that we have to pay more attention to them. We would like to express our gratitude to the teams in Texas and Mississippi who gave us these wonderful lines of Barbarin and M713. They supplied us with the seeds for this study, but more than that, they provided us with material we can work with in the future. And then the funding of this study was done by Cotton Incorporated, and we got assistance from the Alabama Agricultural Experiment Station. Thank you.